God bless you, dear brethren and friends.
Beloved friends, God bless you all. We are here today. We want to share some wonderful, amazing things that the Lord is doing in our lives.
And besides wonderful and amazing, even some lessons we are going through.
We're here with Brother Joseph. God bless you.
Turn my microphone on. Amen. God bless you. Praise the Lord.
And today we have also Deborah with us.
God bless you.
Usually she's around with the children running everywhere, 6 children, but today she's in the studio.
Thank you,
Lord. It's nice to have you here.
My sweet.
Nice to be here.
And beloved wife. Hey, why do you come every time here when I record?
Well.
Sometimes I miss you.
If you want all the 6 children to join in the studio, there is a possibility we can organize.
So is that your excuse?
Maybe one day we come, all of us.
That's going to be a very happy recording.
Hey, maybe I'll take a free day in that day.
Praise all the Lord. 6 kids can preach.
Yeah, but that's life in a community, you know. That's the good and the bad. I would say more good. In a community, you know, it's like you never know what you're doing. Now you're cooking, now you're preaching the gospel. Somebody gets on the phone rings. Oh, somebody's dying. Wants prayer. So we get stop.
Amen,
everybody
amen.
Comes. Somebody needs prayer immediate. And then teams going witnessing, teams coming back.
Amen. It's a lot happening.
It's exciting. It's like, you know, we're like a bunch of farmers here, only spiritual farm. We sow spiritual seeds. You know.
Actually, I want to tell you that all the 6 children of Joseph and Deborah, they are big talkers. And I think one day God will greatly use that. For
maybe,
ministries.
Maybe too much talkers.
I think they inherited something from the parents. So today we would like to share with you some of the latest thing the Lord has been doing in our mission.
Amen.
We have some wonderful stories, testimonies, and ministries the Lord has been leading us to start here. And we would like to share this with you. Who wants to start?
I will.
Yeah, we thought to take the time to make a regular audio newsletter, so to speak, and we send it to the closest friends to let them know what's going on, what's happening, because we really like to keep closer connection with our beloved brethren. Thank you, Lord.
Also, you can send us your news so you can inspire us.
Amen. So one of the things that I know Brother Joseph has had on his heart for a while, to visit some rehabilitation centers here in the area where we live. And we've been actually very busy, but finally we are able to go and visit this rehabilitation center. And we actually found out something very inspiring. In this rehabilitation center, they rehabilitate the youth just with the Bible, with Jesus and everything. They don't have psychiatrists, psychologists, and worldly people to rehabilitate, but they use the Bible. But in the same time, when we first visited them, they were in desperate need of help. They said, well, So read the Bible with them and we sing songs, but, you know, they don't really stay. They just stay a day or two or a week, but then they leave and we don't see them rehabilitated. And they're getting bored with the Bible studies we do. Like, we just take a chapter at a time. And so they were very, very happy to have some missionaries who live by faith and live for the Lord to come in and help them with this youth.
If I understand right from what you shared, because you were the one who visited the first time, you were saying that they are not belonging to any church. They believe a lot in God, in the Bible, and they rehabilitate through faith. But they don't belong to any religion?
No, they don't. They are free Christians, basically, just like us. Like, they are Christians, but they don't belong to any denominations. And actually, they told us, with sadness, they told us that the church is around in the town there where they are. They're actually criticizing them. Because they don't wear a tie, for example, when they do worship. Like, basically, they get together and read the Bible, but they don't wear a tie. And they wear, an ugly shirt or whatever. They didn't put their suit on and whatnot. And many other things. They pick on little things. And they were actually sad. They're saying they're not helping us. Our brethren here around in the town are not helping us at all.
Also, what was very beautiful, because we started going to do programs in this rehabilitation. We went there already 2 times?
3 times.
3 times. We went with Joseph and Deborah, and we started doing educational videos, projecting some wonderful materials to encourage them and inspire them, and afterwards explain the message and read scriptures from the Bible to lift up their faith. But what was beautiful is they shared with us how they actually go evangelize. These people who are beginners in their faith and they are new Christians, they don't know much about the Bible, but they have this fire in their hearts that they want to share the gospel. And as they go around, day by day to support themselves. They collect donations to support themselves. They sell whatever they produce in the rehab, bread and other items that they produce.
It seems like also the leader of the community was telling me that sometimes there were some churches, like evangelicals, they were calling them the devil, or you are heretics, this and that, because they were not the same exactly, you know, eyeball to eyeball the denominations of these guys. So actually, sometimes they get in trouble. You know, they are born again, free and everything. Believers, they don't belong to, they want to be free Christians.
They want
to
be free so they can reach everybody. They don't want to be only a specific denomination, so their doors can be open to anybody.
And the young leader of this rehab, he was kind of broken heart, say, like, well, why do they call us like this? Why do they treat us? Like, we don't do anything wrong to them. We just want to go. They go on the square, they have a little band, musical band, they play songs, and in between songs they preach Jesus. They also go around selling little things like colanders, brooms, dustpans, and everything.
Yes.
And then as they distribute these things, they tell them about Jesus. I mean, I think it's great. They said they're sitting around in some religious building Sunday morning warming up benches and never reaching the lost.
They have a strong desire to evangelize. And it's beautiful also they organize specific projects to go only evangelize. If I understood right, they go in the most poor area of the town where there are full of robbers and drug addicts and problem people, and they evangelize there. They even made a band in their group. They made a musical band with instruments that they sing songs, and they organize these little mini concerts to go and get the attention to give the word, the gospel.
Praise the Lord. No, it's like we just fell in love as soon as, because they live like we do as far as a community. And, you know, they have these bunk beds, which are homemade. They don't really have a good washing machine. They mostly, they're very screwed up. They don't have a stove to cook.
They cook on a big fire in the yard.
With a grill in the yard, and they put the pot on the grill with the wood fire underneath. And we are praying about, God help us to see when we with our tithe to buy them a washing machine or a stove. We see what we can do. We really want to help them.
And yet they have such a positive spirit, always happy and encouraging. With all these needs they have, they just look at Jesus and they go evangelize, and they're wonderful.
Thank you, Lord. But did you tell about the mattresses?
Yeah, they told me that they had built the bunk beds by themselves manually, but they didn't have any mattresses. So what they did, they prayed. They go together in the morning and they pray, Lord Jesus, please supply the mattresses for us because we don't have the money to go
buy
them.
They got the wood, very rough wood. They built so these bunk beds really, really homemade.
Rustic.
Like really rustic, different type of woods just blended together. But they didn't have mattresses.
So they prayed one morning and said, Lord, we believe your word that you'll provide our needs, and we pray for mattresses. And they said the next day somebody knocked at the door with all the mattresses they
praise
needed.
Praise the Lord. I mean, we testify that these things happen to us, so not about the mattresses, but other things. And so we feel so close to this, a very special community or group of really Spanish-speaking ex-drug addicts. Just last week, three of them left and went back to drugs, and they went back to stealing. And the leader of the community, very sadly, was telling us, I think one came back, you know?
Yeah, one came back. Out of the three, one came back. We've been there last time, last week, and there were some nice things happening there. You were there with us, Deborah.
Yeah, one thing I thought was very beautiful. We were explaining about the Holy Spirit, because we know the Holy Spirit is needed when you want to live as a Christian. So we were explaining about the Holy Spirit and then called the young people up if they wanted to pray. And many came, and then Joseph asked, why do you want the Holy Spirit? And they all said, because I want to serve the Lord.
I asked each one of them, I asked, why do you want the Holy Spirit? For what?
They said they want to serve the Lord.
Yeah, I remember.
And they do it.
You know, I remember when my father went to buy a gun. And so he was, I think he was 70 years old. And he went to buy this double barrel gun, you know, in a shop. He went to buy, and actually, just a second, he went to get a license, okay? And so he was 70 years old, and he applied for this huge gun, you know, this hunting gun. And so they asked him if you have to go to a test, you know, in Italy they don't just give you guns. It's not like United States. It's very complicated. You need to have a clean record and everything. Oh boy. if you just look at police in the wrong way, you already lost it. So when the test came, it kind of like a driving license period, you know. So there were these three guys serious, you know, to test him. Here comes my father, 70-year-old, a farmer. And so the guy asked, so you want a gun? You never heard this story, huh?
It's a new story, Brother Joseph. Right. I've known you for 20 years and I didn't hear this story. It's nice.
So anyway, my father was a very rough guy, you know, like a farmer. It was now he's in heaven, God bless him. I had the privilege to pray with him. He was a communist. But then he got saved, praise the Lord. He was a very good man, very good guy, though, very good principles. So anyway, they interviewed him. So these three guys, they looked to him externally and he said, why a 70-year-old you want a gun? In other words, does anybody want to kill or something? And so he said, you want to know why? Yes, sir, we want to know exactly why you want a gun. Like that. You're not going to go hunting a 70-year-old. He said, no, I'm not going to. So why do you want a hunting gun? Because with this license, you could have had, I think it was 4 rifles and 6 pistols and a few hundreds of rounds of ammunition. Like, you know, you could put a little arsenal in your house. So he said, look, sir, I want a gun because I have a piece of land, okay, and I'm so upset. I'm so tired. Or these crows, they come there, they ruin my crops. So I want to shoot and blast and kill a few of them, hang them by the feet, so the other don't fly anymore in my land. You understand?
Very straightforward.
So those guys look each other in the face and say, okay, fine, you got it. Okay, so this was kind of the same, you know, in a way. These guys were coming to me and for the Holy Spirit, and looked at me and said, the eye says, why do you want the Holy Spirit?
It was actually very nice that you didn't just, you know, the Bible says don't lay hands suddenly. You actually checked their desire, if they really want the Holy Spirit or they are just there.
The motivation. Yeah. Why do you want the Holy Spirit? Just so that you can be blessed, you can find a wife, you can get out of drugs. Okay, these are all good things, but they're secondary. But why do you want the Holy Spirit?
Yeah, it was very nice. And then you could see their heart, their answers.
Some of them were crying. And
they actually had experiences.
And so they had, they were saying very beautiful things, like, I want to serve Jesus. Because you already share scripture about Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, like give power, you receive power. See, because I want to serve the Lord. I already explained to them about Holy Spirit is to become a soldier for Christ, because salvation is in Christ. Holy Spirit, Acts 1:8, it gives you power to be a witness, evangelize. And they all had experiences. Oh, wow, it was wonderful.
Amen. Now, another thing that happened, as we were meeting one day, we were meeting the leader of this rehab. He's in his 30s, and he's a very broken-hearted man. But we met him outside of the rehab just to have some heart sharing. He had things to share with us. And we met him in a supermarket. We were there with Joseph and Deborah. We had to do some shopping also. Enjoy shopping in supermarkets, brethren, while you still can, because soon it won't be time anymore. So we were there doing some shopping, and Brother Joseph, he is not so much into shopping. Usually he gets very bored. So he went right away in line.
I was looking at the people. I enjoy looking at people.
Yeah. Me and Deborah were running around putting everything together.
My hobby is to just look at the sheep to see if there is any possibility.
Amen. Actually, that's what you did.
Well, you guys are into laundry, washing powder, and spaghetti, and...
Well, somebody has to do that too, no, Deborah?
Of course. Otherwise, you wouldn't look like this.
Yeah, I should try to look better, actually. And...
So as me and Deborah were running around to collect all the shopping we need, Brother Joseph was waiting in line.
Yeah, we're keeping the place warm.
Right, so we can pay quicker and get out.
Right, I usually do that. That's my job, you know, stand there, keep the place.
But then as I went there, where he was, he told me that there is a girl in front who was in line in front of us. She's very young, and she was motioning to the father. This I didn't see. You can tell us, Brother Joseph, how was it?
Yeah, when I was there alone.
Yeah.
I saw that this girl, she didn't look South American at all. I thought she was European.
Mm-hmm.
Very tall, at least as tall as you.
Which? Well, how tall I am?
I mean, you must be
taller than me.
You must be 175 or 170. you are one of the tallest girls. So
it's because she has a ponytail on her head up.
No.
I'm 172.
No, that she reached 180 with that. So anyway, she didn't look. I was wondering, is she from Europe? But no, she didn't look South American. I noticed that she was dressed super elegant and everything, but there was something peculiar about this girl. She was talking to her father, and her face was like going through tribulations. I said, oh my goodness, what's happening to this girl? And then after a while, lining up, the father whispering something to her, worried, and she answered back and started pointing her head, forehead, half of her face, her nose, indicating. I realized she was under pain.
Mm-hmm.
So then I start looking around and say, yeah, we need either my wife or Angela here to give me a hand. I cannot approach this girl, you know, I'm an old guy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It doesn't look good. So
yeah,
what do you want? When some of them I tried and they kind of didn't work too good. So I always hide behind either one of our boys or one of our girls, let them crack the ice. And then, oh, here I am. So anyway, I start looking around and then finally I saw you were coming, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I motioned, come quick. So you came and I told you.
You told me to try to make friends with this young girl and offer her prayer for healing.
Yeah, find an excuse to start talking to her about this and that.
Right. So I just moved myself next to her and this and that. And casually I started talking with her. Actually, she spoke very good English.
How did you start? What did you say?
I asked some information about the payment and in Spanish about the...
Very good.
I don't know exactly what I said.
Mm-hmm.
But it turned out she spoke very good English and that was a reason to start a conversation, make friends. Mm-hmm. And as we kept talking, I
and
asked
you can
her,
see she was a very rich family and everything, the way she was dressed.
Yeah.
And
she's,
high heels.
Yes.
Really something.
And I asked her as we were conversating, I told our missionaries, as we were talking, I asked her, do you feel okay? Because you look a little pale. Are you okay? I knew already she has pains
right,
from you.
Right.
I didn't know how to start the subject. And she told me, oh no, I have a big headache. I have pain all over in my head, in my nose.
Can I stop a second? The reason we're sharing this, beloved brethren, please take notes, is also some of you that don't know how to evangelize,
mm-hmm.
personal witnessing and getting people saved in the streets, healed from sickness, etc. This is one way you can do it. That's why we're sharing this testimony. It's not just to share what we are doing, but to actually, if you don't mind, kind of teach some of you who don't know how to evangelize in the streets.
Basically, be spontaneous and, like the Bible says, preach in season and out of season.
Yeah, be casual.
You know, there's something I have learned with you that, you know, we have, scheduled evangelism and witnessing and whatnot. But our witnessing shouldn't be limited to those, whatever, half a day or one day out. But anywhere we go, to be open to preach the gospel.
If you go out looking for people to witness, a lot of time it's more difficult to, it will take a while to find some important sheep. So
mm-hmm.
the best way to be a witness is to be a witness all the time. It's not that a soldier will go look for enemies once a week or for friends or whatever he's looking for. You need to keep your binoculars up. And whenever it's time to throw a bomb, throw it. Our bombs are spiritual. They give life. They destroy the devil, save the sheep. So you always be on the lookout. Preach the word, it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, long-suffering, and doctrine. Preach the word. This is 2 Timothy 2:4, I think.
4:2.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to finish the testimony, but I want you to pay attention, beloved brethren, because this is something you can do. And always, always bring gospel tracts in your pocket, because sometimes you only have 5 seconds. Maybe you are somebody's passing in the bus, you look in the eyes, and Jesus says, give it. And so you stick a tract through the window, and the tract goes by, the traffic light turns green. You need to have gospel tracts in your pocket, and better be a pocket open that you can easily take it out, not half an hour searching your bag, okay?
So this young girl, she was 14, and she told me she suffers from allergy, from dust. And usually in spring, for her, it's a torture, suffering from headaches and problems with her nose.
But I used to have that in my youth.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord healed me.
So then I offered her prayer, and she said, yes, I would like prayer for healing.
She flipped.
So I introduced you, Brother
mm-hmm.
Joseph.
Mm-hmm.
I said, he's like my father, and we're going to pray together for you. She was just no problem with that. In the meanwhile, her father left to organize his car and
for
leaving. So we took her out of the supermarket, outside in the parking lot, basically. And there we witnessed to her. But we had to be very quick because the father was coming to pick her up.
Yeah, also, as we found out, the broken family lives in a different country. Rich, very rich family, has a job. And he comes back, but the family seems kind of very, very big problem. So they were very different in the spirit. So we took the opportunity as soon as he left, we just jumped.
Yeah, and this young girl, she was very attentive. You could see she was like hungry and brokenhearted, wanting to know exactly more about the word and Jesus.
The pain worked in favor.
Yeah. Also probably the family situation worked in favor to open her heart.
Yeah, I know.
So we shared it with her quickly some scriptures about healing and about God's love for her and some testimonies.
We went outside the supermarket. We sat on some benches just in front of the main entrance.
Yeah.
And then we started with the scriptures.
And we shared a quick testimony how Dora got healed when she had her backache. And then we offered her prayer and she closed her eyes.
She jumped.
She did.
You know, sometimes we go delicate because some people don't understand that when miraculous prayer.
No, she did.
Churches don't believe. And sometimes they even got offended.
No, she really was happy to pray.
Yeah, she jumped.
And she put her heart into it. You could see she closed her eyes and we laid hands on her. And we said a quick prayer, but a strong prayer to rebuke the pain, rebuke the devil, rebuke any sickness out of her body. We just talked to the sickness to leave.
Yeah,
and we commanded it in Jesus' name.
Literally, the Lord is revealing a special scripture in Acts 10:38. Can somebody read it? Debbie, Deborah. Acts 10:38, the Lord has been speaking to us about the scripture lately. Okay, listen, what a beautiful.
All right, Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him.
Deborah, you have a special Bible here, so it's a translation English-Spanish, right?
Yes.
Because you...
I'm a little behind in Spanish, and I need to practice.
So now we're going to help you, Deborah. Why don't you read it in Spanish?
No! Please.
Yes, Debbie!
It's an order from your husband.
Oh, my. I better do it. 38. Como Dios... ungió con el Espíritu Santo y con poder a Jesús de Nazaret y como este anduvo haciendo bienes y sanando a todos los oprimidos por el diablo porque Dios estaba con él.
Wow. God bless. I'm proud of you.
Oh,
you're doing better with the Spanish.
No.
Now people are beginning to understand you. So,
praise the Lord.
Well, because you're Danish, so I understand that you're very far away from Latin. The armies of Julius Caesar never made it up there, right, to Denmark?
No.
You guys have complete different language up there, you know. So anyway, can you repeat again in English so we refresh?
In English? Thank you. Okay, so this is Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil.
That's it. That has been speaking to me very much about healing all who were oppressed by the devil. So the Lord spoke to me and said, look, every sickness is an oppression of the devil. So lately, I've been going much more on the attack against the devil. In fact, that's what we did with this girl. Remember, Angie?
Yes.
And Debbie with the tuna?
Yes.
And
actually, Deborah had an important part there because as the father came with the car, we were just laying hands on her, but he was impatient.
Right. He kept saying, come.
In the beginning, he didn't realize what's happening. He didn't know. So he was honking, coming with this big Jeep.
Yeah.
So Deborah jumped.
So I said, Debbie,
help.
Go and witness to the father.
Deborah jumped. She went to him and kept him busy.
Right.
Witnessing to him, of course, as we were praying for the daughter.
That's wonderful.
But at the end, the father was very grateful, actually. And
yeah, he was very grateful. He realized.
When he realized what's happening, yeah.
He began to realize. And, you know, because I want three guys to drop on my daughter, laying hands on her head. So then Deborah, she went to the window of the car.
And in her Spanish, she witnessed to him.
That wasn't easy.
Yeah, but the guy seemed to be very happy to me.
Well, he was fine.
He was listening. So, as my wife is taking the guy busy and preaching the gospel through the car window, we were laying hands on the daughter, and?
And she closed her eyes. We prayed over her strongly, short but strong. And you, Brother Joseph, took your hand off and you said, whenever you feel the pain gone, open your eyes. Instantly, she opened her eyes.
And they said, what?
And we said, yes.
Yeah.
So he's gone. Yeah. He was gone, and she was very happy.
He was one of the most lightning blitzkrieg.
She was hugging us. She said, serious, I'm fine.
And then in the night, you phoned, or what happened?
Yeah, she kept hugging us. And then as she left, she said, I'm going to phone you. And in the evening, we got in touch with her. We wanted to know how she's doing. Yeah. And she said, I'm fine. I'm healed. I have no problems.
But we did teach her, say, look, usually the devil comes back, okay? And he will try to make you feel pain. He will try to make you feel the same sickness, etc. Remember, that's a trick of the devil. And so the devil will whisper to you that you didn't have enough faith, that God is dealing with you because of your sins, and God will heal you maybe in the future. These are lies of the devil. It's not true. So you must, now you know how to do it. We taught you how to do it. Now you resist the devil exactly the way we did. And when the devil comes back, you just slam the door on his face. You just rebuke him. You just use your authority that you have in Christ Jesus and keep your healing and keep rebuking until he leaves. And she is just happy, wonderfully healed.
Amen, amen. God. Actually, why we started doing this, because all these things happened like in 10 minutes, maximum 10 minutes. It was very quick.
Yeah.
But why we were all of us eager to pray for this girl is because lately the Lord has been teaching us a lot about having authority over the devil, having faith that Christ lives in us.
We've been having an attack of coughs here in our community.
Yeah, lately, yes.
You know, including me and the others, and we're in an attack. The Lord is shouting.
Well, what was ugly is that they were leaving the coughs, but then coming right back up, and we seemed like we couldn't just get rid of them. Yeah. They were just keep coming back.
Yeah, so the Lord lately has been helping us to study a lot and grow in faith in having authority over the devil, in believing Christ lives in us. And the faith of Christ and the authority Christ gives us will overcome the devil, and we can command him. Because we have the mentality, we are sinners, we are good for nothing. And yes, we are, but when Christ starts living in us, we need to go by his faith and have the faith to resurrect the dead. And we want to apply that in our mission to see healing on the children and on ourselves and also outside. So this was very encouraging for us when we saw this girl getting healed so quick, so instantly, just by rebuking the devil. And we want to share with you, brethren, to also grow in this faith.
It. Just attack the devil. Just attack that. You know, it's the enemy is shooting. Don't just pick up your shield of faith and protect yourself from the shooting. Take your bazooka and blast the devil back to hell.
Amen.
In this time, you should shoot... Bazooka, wherever the shooting comes from. So the sickness comes from the devil. Don't just blast the sickness. Don't just say, sickness, leave. That's one way you can do it. I know some people do that. But I believe to go to the root of the sickness, that's the devil too. So just to command the devil in the name of the authority of Christ, which we have, which works through us, which we have authority on it, and command the devil to leave in the name of the authority of Christ, which is in us, which works in us.
Amen, amen.
Do you have Ephesians 3:20 there?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I was thinking just about that scripture.
Right, because it just fits.
Amen. 19 and 20.
Okay.
And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us.
So Jesus can do above that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. You guys understand?
Amen.
And listen, really, really study carefully the book of Ephesians.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially chapter 1, 2, and 3, those things are, I tell you, I don't think I have grasped much. You know, I've been meditating on it, but I tell you, there is so much in there that I think only in heaven I understand how deep this thing is. We are seated with Christ, right hand of God, you know.
And that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us.
Amen.
Through the Holy Spirit.
I know there are religions that just worship the cross, you know. I tell you, don't go to sleep on the cross or the death of Jesus. Go to the next step, resurrection. And after that, go to the other, to the higher step, sitting on the throne with Christ, right hand of God. Don't go to sleep on the death of Jesus. There is a time for that. There is a time for the Gethsemane, but don't go to sleep there.
Amen,
make
amen.
Sure you resurrect and then go move onto the throne with Jesus, Revelation 3:20, sitting on his throne. Ephesians, book of Ephesians, sitting on the... In the heavenly.
Ephesians 2:6.
Can you read it?
Yes. 5 also. Ephesians 2:5-6. Even when we were dead in sins, he has quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen. So.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He says, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Wow. Praise the Lord.
And another scripture that really speaks to me, and I like it a lot, is Ephesians 1, 19 and 20. 18, actually, also. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ Jesus when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places.
Praise the Lord.
So the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in us.
So, brethren, I would like to ask you, please memorize the scripture, okay? Yeah. Ephesians 2:6. He has raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We are sitting in heaven with Christ Jesus. And next to it, you can just write Revelation 3:20, which says, if we overcome, in other words, stay faithful in Christ, overcome the devil, overcome our doubts, overcome our weakness, overcome our temptation, etc., and remain faithful in Christ, Revelation 3:20 says, we shall sit on the throne together with Jesus. We have to overcome, okay? So memorize the scripture, brother, right? And he has raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2:6. Amen.
Amen. The way it works for me is to take my mind off myself. Because if I think how bad I am and all my shortcomings, I can never have authority over the devil. But my faith is not in myself, it's in Jesus Christ. So if I just fix my eyes fixed on Jesus Christ, then I have the faith to rebuke the devil, and I know his authority will send him away. It has nothing to do with me.
Praise you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Amen. With this, we bless you. The Lord keep you and protect you.
Amen.
Until next time. Hope you enjoy this little bit of news and happening and blessings and miracles the Lord is doing here.
We have more testimonies to share with you.
Yeah, but it's another, I think,
another time.
Another time. This, we have so much to do here.
Amen.
So I think this is it for today, right?
God bless you. We
love
you.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you.
Big hug.